Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest running podcast, now in our 19th year. As always, I'm your host, Jess Marquez, and our guest today is Joseph Grad, co-founder and partner at Hentlgrad PC, to talk about the Pennsylvania skill game debate and all of its various tentacles.
This podcast is sponsored by iGamingPlayer.com, the premier affiliate marketing site that delivers quality players to your online casino, sportsbook, or poker room with transparency and integrity.
The regulated U.S. gaming industry is as diverse as the states and communities in which it operates, but few topics of debate have been as fiery and divisive as the proliferation of so-called skill games. In Pennsylvania, skill games have taken center stage, and the battle between casinos, law enforcement, and skill game manufacturers has only grown more fierce as time has gone on. In an effort to make sense of the issue and the potential pathways it may follow, longtime gaming attorney and former Pennsylvania Gaming Control Board regulator Joseph Grad breaks down the legal questions surrounding the debate as well as both sides' perspectives. Grad and I spoke via Zoom in February. Before we begin today's episode, we have an important announcement. The discussion in this episode covers ongoing litigation as well as potential legal outcomes that do not directly involve Hentlgrad, and the thoughts and opinions of Attorney Grad should not be construed as advocacy or legal advice. This podcast is for entertainment purposes only and is not sponsored or in any way connected to any parties involved in said litigation. As always, we thank you for your support, and without further ado, we hope you enjoy the interview. Joe, thank you so much for coming on today to talk about this pressing issue. I am so thankful for your expertise and your time. How are you doing today, sir?
Oh, not too bad, Jess. How are you?
Doing great, thank you. It's a cold and rainy morning here in Los Angeles. I got a vest on, so hopefully you guys are doing pretty well, although I'm sure it's probably pretty nippy back there in Pennsylvania as well.
Yeah, how do you define cold and rainy?
Well, you know, that's good. You know, anytime it's like cloudy and rainy out, it's just automatically cold. Even if it's not really cold, to us it's cold, so.
All right, I hear you. Well, thanks for having me back on the pod. I appreciate it.
Of course. You know, I always joke anytime I have someone like you on, I always joke, you know, you're saving me so much money because I can't imagine how much this would cost otherwise, you know, on the regular world. So I'm so glad to have your expertise on this issue as a gaming attorney and also obviously a former regulator in Pennsylvania. This is a huge issue, and this is kind of a unique episode for us because we want to really dive deep on this issue of skill games in Pennsylvania. It's become quite the touchstone issue for the industry, and, you know, not only the industry, but also the public at large. You know, these machines have really proliferated across the state. There's thousands of them, tens of thousands of them at this point, in various locations, ranging from bars, restaurants, convenience stores, all the way up to, you know, whatever, you're not, you know, fraternal organizations, laundromats, etc. So there was some recent developments that I want to get to that we'll talk specifically about. And then I want to kind of start with a more kind of broader history, kind of paint the picture, if you will, you know, kind of a legal exercise, kind of lay out the facts and the parties involved. So I guess we kind of just start at the beginning, or kind of start with a little bit of context. How, in your words, how would you say that we've kind of what's led to this point that we've kind of arrived at the status quo that we've reached now?
Well, I think the genesis of the skill game market, you know, really occurred with a 2013 decision by the Court of Common Pleas in Beaver County, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Which was the first court to actually recognize the existence of a skill machine, which was legal under Pennsylvania gaming law and the gaming law, the criminal code sections. Subsequent to that, that decision, there was litigation, skill game litigation, throughout the state in various common pleas courts. Some cases were successful, you know, in terms of the skill industry. Some were not. But I think that the net effect of all the litigation was it clarified what rules had to be followed for a game maker. To design a game that comports with Pennsylvania law.
So we'll get into more specifics a little bit about, you know, we'll get into some nitty gritty in terms of word definitions, as always, is key to, you know, cases such as these, the definitions. I want to kind of touch quickly on the parties involved, obviously, because anytime you have a legal battle, it's a very clear line in the sand where you have parties who want X and parties who want Y. If we look at this issue in Pennsylvania, it's kind of clear, at least to me or to most people, that obviously the companies who are making these machines and selling them, and the businesses who are, you know, using them in their businesses, are the ones who support them and want them to be legal, or at least not illegal. But who are the parties in the state that are opposing the games, and kind of why is that, if you could break that down?
Sure. I mean, most importantly, the Pennsylvania State Police. So state's highest law enforcement do not recognize skill machines. The Pennsylvania casinos do not believe skill machines are legal. You know, they've paid, you know, millions of dollars in license fees, and, you know, they pay a significant gambling tax north of 50%. So they are not too pleased about these unregulated machines essentially being unregulated and not subject to the significant tax that they are. Also, the Pennsylvania Gaming Control Board does not, you know, recognize skill machines as being legal. They consider them slot machines, basically illegal slot machines.
So obviously this issue revolves around the legality of the skill games. Can you kind of pinpoint the area of disagreement between the courts and law enforcement and the industry?
Well, you know, at a very high level, the disagreement is really about the amount of skill in the play of these machines. You know, courts have taken the skill elements very seriously and have applied the case law to them, whereas the Pennsylvania State Police, they believe that the so-called skill element is simply a ruse to disguise, you know, slot machines, you know, under, you know, the cloak of being a skill machine.
So one thing that I am kind of unsure about, you know, as I kind of dissect this issue as somebody who obviously is not involved, there seems to be almost like a spectrum of skill in terms of, like, we have slot machines, regulated slot machines on one end, and then completely unregulated and unlicensed, you know, complete skill games on the other. And it seems like there's kind of also kind of this hybrid thing in the middle, or like there's almost like a like I said, like a spectrum of, like, there's a little bit of skill, not a lot. So how are the courts defining this skill, and why have they ruled that certain machines are skill games instead of others?
Sure. So the Pennsylvania courts, you know, they look at games and analyzing whether it's a game of skill or chance. They recognize that, you know, virtually every game has an element of each. You know, there's some skill components, some chance components. What they look for in terms of whether it's a game of skill is whether skill predominates. And what they mean by that is, can skill always determine the outcome of the game?
Interesting.
Well, where chance could determine whether, you know, the amount of the prize or how difficult the prize is able to be obtained, in the court's view, if skill, the player through skill cannot win each and every time, it's a game of chance. So it's a fairly narrow technical view of skill. Like, for example, like Pennsylvania courts have long held that poker is not a game of skill, despite the fact that it has, you know, skill components, mathematical analysis, the ability to read people and to, you know, employ statistical analysis. They understand those are all skillful things, but they understand that in any poker game, even the most skillful player is always subject to the defeat of a single bad card. Hence, poker, even though if it does have skill aspects, is a game of chance. So the way these machines have been developed, consistent with the case law, is that although they usually have two phases, one phase looks a little bit like a slot machine with some player interaction. And then the second phase, if the player loses, the player can go on to the second phase, which is really a test of pure skill, which affords the player to basically get a small return back on their initial consideration. So through the exercise of that skill game, they are, if they successfully complete it, they're always able to obtain at least some small prize, and hence under the, you know, kind of technical rules developed by the courts, it is a game of skill.
Man, that's fascinating. And I didn't know about the poker, the poker. That's fascinating how, you know, we just get so in the weeds about, you know, like you said, like skill and chance. And it's hard to define these things, as in most legal battles, it's hard to define things. But is there as far as you know, is there when you say like the amount of skill or the amount of impact that skill has on the outcome, is there a certain number that is attributed to this, like over 50% of the time, or like literally 100%? Does it say like in the definition, like literally 100% of the time the skill is impacting the game? Is there like, is it very broad, or are they kind of adopted more like specific numbers and such?
Well, it's not numbers. It's really outcome based.
Okay, interesting.
That skill. You have to be, the player has to be able to win the game each and every time through the exercise of skill.
Okay, interesting. Okay.
Right. So if luck can intervene and basically thwart the exercise of skill, it's a game of chance and it's a gambling game.
Interesting. Well, unfortunately,
if the other elements of gambling are involved. Which is consideration and prize, which are always present and everyone acknowledges are always present on both sides.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. So I guess that kind of brings us now to the most recent ruling, and kind of honestly, the impetus for having this discussion is the most recent development from the Commonwealth Court regarding the specifically the Pace-O-Matic skill games, Pennsylvania skill games. And this was interesting. This was the first, when I first saw this come across my desk, I was, I reached out to you soon after to kind of get more info on this. But, you know, this was a unanimous ruling. This was a 7-0 ruling. And when you read through the kind of, the expert testimony and things like this, it really kind of, in my opinion, it really kind of sets the stage for, you know, future cases to come, as I'm sure you'll allude to. So could you kind of just break down and give a more, you know, a more official and more a skilled breakdown of kind of what the Commonwealth Court ruling was and kind of what their opinion was?
Yeah, sure. In that case, the government was arguing that the definition of slot machine, the one that appears in the criminal code and which is undefined, should be the same definition of slot machine that is found in the Pennsylvania Gaming Act,
okay,
which authorizes and regulates Pennsylvania's commercial casinos. The court rejected that argument. They believe that the laws apply to different, even though they apply to machines, the context was completely different. Whereas the criminal code dealt with, you know, illegal activity, whereas the PA Gaming Act dealt with legal and authorized activity. So it declined that invitation to incorporate that definition from the PA Gaming Act of slot machine into the crimes code. Because the effect of that would have been the PA Gaming Act definition of slot machine includes both games of chance and skill.
Okay.
So all these skill games would have come under that definition and essentially would have been only permitted within a licensed facility in the Commonwealth. So it essentially would have eradicated the skill game industry as we know it, should the court have decided in the government's favor. I think what's also important is that they also reaffirmed that the two-phase games that we talked about previously are not gambling devices per se. Essentially affirmed a decision of the Commonwealth Court that had taken place just 6 months previous. And I think what was also important about the case, especially the opinion, was that one, it was decided by an en banc panel of the court, which means a seven-judge panel, as opposed to your typical panel of the Commonwealth Court, which is just three. So I really think that based upon the tone and tenor of the opinion, I think that the Commonwealth Court was really trying to make a statement that if with respect to these two-phase skill machines, that they are currently legal.
So, I mean, that being said, you obviously are the legal expert here, and you understand better than I that precedence is key for stuff like this. How could this ruling now affect future events to come? And do you see this interpretation slash ruling being, kind of I guess you would say the touchstone of this this issue?
Well, at this point, it's fairly clear that the Commonwealth Court has cemented the law regarding skill games for the intermediate appellate level, which is what the
Interesting.
Commonwealth Court is at, and below the trial courts. Now, interesting, the two other important governmental bodies in the state that have not weighed in are the PA Supreme Court and the PA General Assembly.
And obviously, going off of that, the after the Commonwealth ruling came out, the state vowed to appeal to the state Supreme Court. So, what are some of the ways in which the Supreme Court could decide to decide on this issue?
Right, so all three, the trilogy of Commonwealth Court cases regarding skill that have all been decided in favor of the skill industry in 2023 have petitioned the PA Supreme Court for review. And as of at least an hour ago, to my knowledge, the Supreme Court hasn't ruled on whether it will accept those cases. So the first question is, will accept the cases? It's not. It's one of the. It's an appellate court of discretion. It has, as the Supreme Court is, so it has no obligation to take and hear these cases. So if it refused the cases, are remain affirmed. So if it did take the cases, it could affirm the cases. It could also, revisit, the elements of skill and chance and how and the interplay between those two elements. It could do so, in a way that would be highly disfavorable to the skill game industry. There hasn't been much case law, on the common law definition of gambling in Pennsylvania. I mean, there are a smattering of cases. They haven't really. I mean, the most important decision was probably the poker decision, probably 11, 12 years ago, that was from the Superior Court. So it's been a while since the PA Supreme Court has weighed in on the interrelationship between skill and chance, and they certainly could, and they certainly could recast the law in a way that would deliver a major blow to the skill game industry.
Interesting. And so, for just for clarification purposes on my end, let's say the Supreme Court were to take a case or the cases, and they were to, I guess, rule in favor of the state, or I say against the skill game industry. Would it then the issue would just be referred back down to a lower court, or how would you wouldn't be able to tell until there would be more info, or how would that play kind of work?
Yeah, I mean, they can certainly just recast the law that, right,
Okay,
they can
interesting.
remand the cases back,
Okay.
with instructions to follow, their guidance.
Interesting.
So
Okay.
they essentially reverse the Commonwealth Court. They certainly
Yeah.
have the authority to do so.
Okay. I was just making sure. You also mentioned obviously the state legislature. What are some of the ways in which they could get involved or intervene in this issue as well?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, there hasn't been a specific law that has touched upon skill game devices in the Commonwealth. So, could they enact a law that prohibits skill games as other jurisdictions in the country have done? Yeah, they can certainly do that. They could also regulate them, limit how many are out there, and they could tax them. So there's kind of two avenues if they were to pick up the issue and actually enact a law. I think the complete eradication at this point seems unlikely. I think the skill game industry, I think, as all sides, I mean, have lobbied, lobbying the issue. And I think if if the opponents had the votes to eradicate the industry, I think they would have done so by now.
Interesting. So I like that. So it's so it seems now that the likeliest outcome is, like you said, is not that it would fully go away, but maybe, I guess, the plan of attack would be to just make them regulated and taxed so that, you know, they're still there, but obviously they just fall under the purview of the Gaming Control Board and such. So you obviously worked at the PGCB for a number of years. One question that I'm kind of curious, you know, leading off of that, let's say that in a hypothetical world that the games are all, they're, you know, a year from now we're looking back and they all are become regulated and taxed and they all fall back under, you know, they join in with all the other gambling that's overseen by the state. That seems to me like that would be a big burden on the state to then obviously bring in all, you know, bring in all those people and all those machines and all those establishments under the scope. I mean, would that not be a pretty intensive undertaking for the state to then, you know, bring all those under the purview?
Yeah, I think it would be a significant undertaking. But, you know, the legislature has enacted VGT legislation, and there are VGTs in truck stops throughout the Commonwealth. I mean, it's a limited market.
Okay.
But there's certainly a footprint to doing so.
Interesting.
But, you know, going back on the, you know, the regulate and tax, you know, the question is, you know, really, That's a possible pathway, but the question is that compromise really possible in the near future? Because that's what it would really take. It would take a compromise between the skill game industry, you know, and the Pennsylvania casinos and law enforcement. And you know, if the Supreme Court denies to hear the case or affirms the Commonwealth cases, I mean, the skill game industry doesn't have a lot of incentive to come to the table. They're dealing with an unregulated, you know, industry, and their machines aren't subject to the significant tax. Now there's, you know, there's certainly a risk, that with the unregulated machines that, you know, scandals might emerge, that the public might turn against the machines, you know, given essentially the saturation of the market. And that there could pick up steam to have an outright ban. So in a way, coming to compromise, they might take some chips off the table. But on the other hand, you know, do the casinos really have? Do they really want to compromise? You know, some are more vocal than others. I think some philosophically think that what the skill game industry is doing is patently illegal, and you know they don't want to legitimize it by legalizing it and regulating it. And some of the gaming operators in PA, you know, have a multi-state footprint, and they probably aren't interested in setting a precedent of compromising with the skill game industry. You know, but on the other side, you know, Pennsylvania casinos are taxed at a very high rate. So perhaps too high, you know. And so certainly there is some, you know, avenue I could see where the PA casinos can get some tax breaks if there is some type of compromise. Or at some level they can share, the PA casinos can share in this regulated distributed gaming market should it actually become regulated.
God, there really is. It is such just a complicated issue in that there's so many factors at play and there's a lot of money at stake for everybody involved, which obviously even complicates things even further. The one thing that is interesting to me about this this saga is, like, obviously as somebody who follows anybody who follows the gaming industry knows that it's not unique to Pennsylvania. There's other states have had cases and rulings in various ways to, you know, either accept or deny these machines. But it seems to me, and it seems kind of like it's been accepted as, like, Pennsylvania has kind of become like the ground zero for this. And it's really like all eyes are kind of, I feel like, on this case as like being the one to kind of define, maybe not define, obviously, you know, that's a very tricky word, but to maybe, you know, give a sense of what this issue could be like elsewhere. Would you agree with that kind of idea? And if so, you know, why do you think that is?
Yeah, I think overall I agree with that. I mean, it's certainly an issue in other states, and skill game certainly has a footprint in other states. I think the difference here is that it is a fairly significant market in terms of population that likes to be part of, you know, gaming or skill game or you know, activities where, you know, you put money in and you're trying to get a reward. And I think probably the most important thing beyond the market size and the interest in playing these games is that there's no regulation. There's no regulation and there's no specific gaming tax. But yet at this point, as long as your machines have those two phases, you're fairly certain that the activity is legal until the General Assembly or the PA Supreme Court act. So it's a very inviting, attractive market with, at this point, very little risk.
Interesting. Well, this has been a extremely insightful and fascinating conversation, Joe. I thank you so much for your time. I got one more for you. I know it's tricky, and I know that, you know, this is ongoing litigation. We have a disclaimer at the front. I don't want to make this construed as legal advice. You guys are not involved. But if you could make a prediction or any, you know, sort of guesses for the future of skill games in Pennsylvania, what would they be?
No chance I'm making a prediction on this one. Sorry. Because I know it will inevitably be incorrect. But I will give you a prediction on Super Bowl 18.
Okay.
Go Chiefs.
Go Chiefs. Okay. Well, I don't know about – yeah, this has been I feel like either way, this year, either way, no matter what you say, is kind of – you know, this was not the most popular matchup that could have been had. But I'll take your pick there. And I probably – you know, I think I agree with you. So, Joe, thank you again. And again, thank you so much for helping to break down this issue and helping people like me and others understand this very confusing topic that never seems to get any clearer, only seems to get more convoluted as time goes on. Thank you again, sir. Hope everything is well with you. How can people reach you? And, you know, Henselgrad PLC, you know, where can people find you?
Yeah, just go to our website, henselgrad.com, and you can find our contact information there if anyone would like to reach out. But always a pleasure to be on the pod with you, Jess, and best of luck in the new year.
You as well. Thanks, Joe.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast sponsored by iGaming Player, the premier affiliate marketing site that delivers quality players to your online casino, sportsbook, or poker room with transparency and integrity. To learn more about the topics we just discussed, visit ggbmagazine.com. Subscribe to GGB News to get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning. Sign up at ggbnews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.